Friday, June 26th, 2026, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today we're in the book of Psalms. We're in Psalm 73 with part two of yesterday's message titled, Why Everything Seems Backward.
Put your trust in Him. Worship Him. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. This is what Asaph realized tonight. He has everything. What a verse. Whom have I in heaven but you? There's nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My heart and flesh may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Dear Christians, you have everything now.
And now here's today's message from Pastor Chris.
For verse 3, I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, the boastful, really. I began to contemplate life, you might say, without God. What would that be like? Life without God. What would it be like, life without God? Well, here I am going through this, whatever it is. And I begin to survey those who have no interest in you. I begin to survey those who have made the choice to reject you. I begin to survey and think about those who even scorn you, who run their mouths against you, he says. And I see something entirely different. How is it that in this world, the wicked and those who reject the Lord and hate him and despise him seem to have it so easy? They don't seem to worry about things. I seem to worry about everything, you might say. They don't seem to face these things. Why is it then? Is it then that when I get close to God and I get close to his kingdom, that why is it then am I afflicted? But away from him, that doesn't seem so. Notice he begins to outline truths about the wicked here, that at least as he sees it. First, they seem to go through life carefree. They seem to go through life absolutely carefree without any struggle. That overwhelmed him. Look at verse 4. They don't have pangs in their death until death. Their bodies are fat and sleek. They're not in trouble as others are. They're not stricken like the rest of mankind. It's as if he says, Lord, they seem to live completely free of any worry. They appear strong. And even all their way to their deaths, they don't worry about it. They go through life completely, seems to be with a lack of care about any of it. All the way till the face of death. And it doesn't even seem to bother them. You think of Ecclesiastes. There's a lot of wisdom in this psalm. Wisdom kind of feel in literature of something like Ecclesiastes. In this meaningless life of mine, I've seen both of these, the righteous perishing in their righteousness and the wicked living long in their wickedness. There's no worry. It's a marvel to me. Day and night, you might say they're all, you know, and today, you know, maybe this just fits with our day, that everyone who ever lives thinks they're going to heaven. Everyone's promised heaven. What Hollywood star doesn't announce afterward they're a star in heaven? They live without a care in the world. They live doing whatever they want to do. Is that a good life? Is that a free life? So you hear what he's wrestling with. Here I am, a child of God, being afflicted. And behind it is, I know the Lord's good. And behind it is, he certainly has the power to do good. I believe he's sovereign. I believe he has the power to deliver, but he doesn't with me. If many are the afflictions of the righteous, what's it worth? If they get to live carefree without a care in the world, without one observance of a Sabbath day, You know, think of what we could be doing tonight, right? Be at the Padres playing. Does anyone think about that? They're not being afflicted. This is all backwards. You know, the rich in this life rarely are the righteous. Why do the Elon Musks prosper? Fill in the blank. Why are the most important positions in this life? You know, you think about this. Why are the most important positions in this life? What are the most important positions in this life? Well, I won't say pastors, but I could say teachers. I could say policemen. These are the most devalued positions. Everything's backward. The sports heroes are valued. The rappers get the millions. How in the world is that possible that Snoop Dogg gets that? And you're surprised I know that name. Asaph says, they have more than a heart could wish. And they scoff. And they speak wickedly. Lord, he says, they even set their mouths against you and against the heavens. Their tongue walks throughout the earth. That tongue means it just runs its mouth against the Lord and everything that's righteous, the wicked. And they take their mouths and they shoot at God and the heavens. God doesn't know. Verse 11 describes the waters of a cup are full and drained by them in sin, like pouring out water. Look at them. They've set themselves against God. They have more than their hearts could imagine. They busy themselves in vain. They do nothing good with their lives. They heap up their riches. What don't they have? I'm dumbfounded that the world increases in all this and lives at ease. This was Job's complaint. Why do the wicked live and become old? Yes, become mighty in power. Their descendants are established with them in their sight, and their offspring before their eyes. Their houses are safe from fear. Neither is the rod of God upon them. You hear what he's saying? God's not striking them. Yet they say to God, depart from us, for we don't desire the knowledge of your ways. Who is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit do we have if we pray to him? Does any of this make sense? And then, verse 14, a constant plaguing and chastisement I seem to receive from you. Now, I think the sort of big question that you could ask of this, or ask of Asaph, is this true? And you have to say, much of it simply is not true. He's self-loathing. But you do have to say, it's an experience that's real. It's real only when you look at this with earthly eyes and not with heavenly eyes. So verse 15 seems to say, my faith, what has it amounted to? The psalmist telling us that undoubtedly we will be challenged in life due to the circumstances of life and the circumstances that come upon us with the goodness of God. And I believe the Lord inspired this for us to consider that when we begin to look at things with earthly eyes and let our faith be driven by our experiences, it will take you somewhere. So that's important. It will take you somewhere. And do you know where it will take you? In a place of bitterness to God. In a place of bitterness to God. Verse 16 is crucial. But when I thought how to understand all this, it seemed to me a wearisome task. That's a problem I could not, this is a problem I cannot solve. There are questions in life that are not good to dwell upon. Do you know that, right? There are some questions that God has not revealed to you that are not good to dwell upon. And I have counseled more than a few people and young men not to dwell upon questions that are harmful and that will lead you to a denial of your faith. But this is one of those questions that the Lord inspired for us and that He desired to give us great help with. And the psalm is remarkable in that way because it presents a recovery out of that kind of thinking. And that's the transition through the psalm, that verse 17 is the real shift in his recovery. And you'll notice it there when he says, "But when I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task until what? I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I discerned their end." That is absolutely crucial. It's a really powerful verse if you just meditate upon that. Where did he go? He went back to worship. When the psalmists are often describing coming into the sanctuary, they're describing the act of gathering with God's people to worship. The beauty of your tabernacles, the beauty of your house. Have you noticed how this theme is so prevalent in the Psalter that God has set up a place to give us answers, right? And if people believe that, then this place would be busting out the seams today and we couldn't fit people. But this is the place God's given answers, is the gathering of his people and the preaching of the Holy Gospel and the help that he's given us. God's always had a people gather in worship. And God has always had a dwelling place. And it's not the building, of course, but it's his people. And where his people gather, he is specially with his people. And he's nourishing and feeding them on the words of eternal life. And God here gives us something beautiful by the inspiration of the Spirit. Think of how we verse this psalm. O God, how good thou art to all the pure of heart, though life seems vain. We sang this a few minutes ago. Burdened with anxious care, I groped in dark despair, till in thy house of prayer all was made plain. This is why Jesus spoke to Peter and said, "Do you want to leave?" And he said, "You have the words of life. Where else are we going to go?" All of this is made plain for you right now. The wicked have their heaven now. If you have your best life now, then there's hell to pay tomorrow. Here's the truth of the matter. The wicked perish in their sin. That's the truth of the matter. The psalm is very graphic at this point. They will be cast down in a moment. Verse 18. Truly, now notice the word, you set them in slippery places. My foot had almost slipped, but it didn't slip. You set them in slippery places. You make them fall to ruin. How they are destroyed in a moment, swept away by utter terrors, like a dream when one awakes. Oh Lord, when you rouse yourself, you despise them as phantoms. When my soul was embittered, when I was pricked in my heart, I was brutish and ignorant. God is going to come one day thundering, and he's going to sweep people away when they least expect it. They will be consumed like a dream. All of those words that they shot out against him and their lives wasted will be taken away from them and carried off. In the sanctuary where God's people come, what did God's people always see? A sacrifice. a sacrifice made for sinners, where they could gather before the presence of the Lord and see that atonement is made. You know the value of the gospel that's preached to you all the time? Of what you have? Think of this morning. When Judas went out and threw the money in the pot, he made atonement. I did kind of think to myself, was the money and his death an offering? See, he did not listen to the gospel. God provides a provision for you. And at this point, notice what he does in his confession of his sin. Now, I want to talk about confession and repentance. It's kind of all here. When my soul was embittered, when I was pricked in heart, you'll notice that. When I was embittered, I was brutish and ignorant. I was like a beast toward you. What am I saying? Why did I start thinking like this? He wakes up. And he realizes something that is the key to the psalm tonight. And something we don't see as we should. And what is it? Through all the sorrow and difficulties of this life, here's the truth of the matter. Here's the truth of the matter. Verse 23. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. It's his arm of power keeping you. You guide me with your counsel throughout all of this life. Here's the truth of your life. You guide me with your counsel throughout this life, and afterward, you will receive me to glory. What a beautiful verse. Remember what C.S. Lewis said? It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at sea, we are far too easily pleased. Your desires are not too strong, but too weak. Did you hear what he said? What does he have? Everything. I have you. If you have the Lord, you have the Christ. If you are his child, you've been given everything. And no one has strength in this life apart from him. Nobody. He alone is the strength of our lives, the portion of our lives. You should stop and read this verse at times and just meditate on it. I think he stopped and he said, what am I saying? The only one that can satisfy my heart, the only one that gives living water, is the one I have. What do you have today? Well, if you have Christ, you have everything. Your heart may fail you. Your bodies may waste away. But when you have the Lord, you have everything. And he has committed himself to supply your every need, to try you and test you and keep you in every affliction, to forgive you all of your sins, to counsel you throughout the whole course of your life with his word, to assure you that afterward you will be received into glory. Pure happiness in this life is not tied to what we have. In body and soul, you have him. You belong to him. Maybe we're fighting so hard to achieve what is never achievable in earthly happiness. And we remain bitter to the Lord when things don't go our way, because the things we're facing are those things that he's using to wean us off of weak desires and turn our hearts to him. to realize what you already have. Not what you will have. What you already have. Do you understand that? The things we're facing, he's using to wean us off of weak desire. Notice what he says. Your loving kindness is what? Better than life. That's what you have. His covenant, steadfast loving kindness in Christ. Your loving kindness. And I believe it is good. Notice here the beautiful statement that you cannot miss. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. That is where he came. You know, this is the very prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ, fulfilled for us. And he wants us to live in the joy of what has been given to you. Things may look backward, things may seem backward, but you should know tonight, the Lord has promised to keep you, and the Lord has given you everything, and in whatever trial or affliction it is, that does not mean his goodness is taken from you. He will show his goodness in time. He will fulfill his word to you, but right now, his loving kindness is upon you. So trust him. And that's why verse 28 says, it's good for me to draw near to God. Can you say that tonight? Make every opportunity to worship and enjoy your God. Put your trust in him. Worship him. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. This is what Asaph realized tonight. He has everything. What a verse. Whom have I in heaven but you? There's nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My heart and flesh may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Dear Christians, you have everything now. And in the future, he will receive you to glory. Praise God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for such an encouraging text, but a real one of struggle for us. It takes faith to believe that even in the trying circumstances of life, you are good. But you've proven it our whole lives, and you've proven it at the cross, where you gave your Son so that we might live and be given hope, and not hopelessness. He says to us that he is the resurrection and the life. What a promise, O Lord. Thank you for encouraging our hearts. May we trust you. May we indeed live in light of what we already have, even when we are tried and afflicted. For indeed it is true, he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall always surround him.
That's all the time we have for you today. We thank you for joining us here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Be sure to tune in next time to hear more from Pastor Chris. Thanks again. Until then, God bless.